crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, President Obama has told Politico that he's energized. He's not depressed. And he should be energized. No one has ever destroyed the sovereignty of the United States of America like President Barack Hussein Obama. And you've got all his different foils going on. Oh, the open border advocates are mad at him. They're demonstrating. They're filing lawsuits. He didn't open the borders up enough. He didn't legalize enough people. He didn't do an executive order legalizing everybody. That's because he's already done it outside of an executive order. And within that is the whole shill. So the people go, oh, immigration reform didn't happen yet. As if it's immigration reform to get rid of our borders, rid of our sovereignty, and give the political class an unlimited third world population to be a political army who will vote as they're told to vote because they're given welfare and other goodies. And Senator Sessions has come out and basically said the Democrats are all part of this executive takeover and are complicit, and that the executive takeover has already happened. Thank God for Senator Sessions. Three times with George W. Bush. I remember covering it right here on air, right here on this Sunday broadcast. He would leak the, quote, secret bill, because you're not supposed to have a bill. Just trust us, it's not amnesty, and the Republican leadership wanted it. And now he says Senate Dems are willing accomplices in Obama's lawless executive amnesty. Yeah, he's doing it outside of an executive order and then saying, I'm not going to act yet, when in January they ordered the Border Patrol to basically stop apprehending anybody. I mean, come on, folks. You pay taxes for the welfare system, and then you're going to say that unlimited people can come here and get everything for free. And I'm not on some jihad, on some crusade against people from Latin America. It's just that the political class in this country is a bunch of lawyers and bankers that want to bankrupt the country as fast as they can to bring it into receivership and then reside over that collapse. And then use the unlimited third world hordes as the global meltdown accelerates, as the political mercenaries or Hessians to come in and take over the nation. You know, I'm German. I'm Alsatian. I got a lot of German on both sides of my family. My mom's pretty much German. I'm not against Germans, but I was against tens of thousands of German troops, Hessian troops, Bavarian troops, brought here in 1776 to fight the colonies. Just like I'm not against the German people, I'm against Hitler. I'm against the political plan. Just like I'm not against Latin Americans, I wish they were free and rich, and I wish there was places nicer than the U.S. down there. I'd be living down there. I'm not afraid of brown people. I'm afraid of what's going on inside their heads. I'm afraid of the globalists wanting to bring them here to carry out their political plan. See, I've said this 1,000 times. I'll say it again. The New World Order's for gun control. I'm against it. I have a lot of intellectual reasons, but the globalists are bad people. They have bad will. They're enslavers. I'm default against anything they're for. They're for banker bailouts. I'm against it. They're for devaluing the dollar. I'm against it. They're for launching all these new wars and funding Al-Qaeda. I'm against it. They are for satellite tracker boxes and all the cars attached by the mile. I'm against it. Basically, anything they're for, I'm against it. But I watch these little tricks about, yeah, Obama's getting protested by the illegals. You want to buy La Raza and Mecha and everybody, because he didn't legalize everybody. He did. He already did. By fiat. So see how they play these mind games? I'm sick of it. Another Harvard lawyer running a scam. I see through it.
There are, of course, those who do not want us to speak.
We think, just let me think.
I suspect even now, orders are being shouted into telephones, and men with guns will soon be on their way.
It's Chancellor Sutler.
Damn it!
Why? Because while the truncheon may be used in lieu of conversation, words will always retain their power. Words offer the means to meaning, and for those who will listen, the enunciation of truth. And the truth is, there is something terribly wrong with this country, isn't there?
You designed it, sir. You wanted it foolproof. You taught me every television in London.
Cruelty and injustice, intolerance and depression. And where once you had the freedom to object, to think and speak as you saw fit, you now have sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity and selecting your submission.
We need cameras.
How did this happen? Who's to blame? Well, certainly there are those who are more responsible than others. They will be held accountable. But again, truth be told, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror. I know why you did it. I know you were afraid. Who wouldn't be? War, terror, disease. There were a myriad of problems which conspired to corrupt your reason and rob you of your common sense. Fear got the best of you, and in your panic you turned to the now High Chancellor, Adam Sutler. He promised you order, he promised you peace, and all he demanded in return was your silent, obedient consent.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the resistance. We are the InfoWar.
My friends, it is already September 7th, 2014. We are live right now at 4:08 and 7 seconds Central Standard Time, broadcasting worldwide on AM and FM affiliates across the United States, global shortwave, satellite, the internet, at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Thank you so much for joining us today. How does The Tale of Two Cities begin? That classic novel. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. I've probably begun over the last 20 years of being on air. It's now 20 years. 20 years next month. In the last 20 years that I've been on air, since October, so long ago, I've said many times it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. So when I talk about all these terrible things that are happening, it's so that we can have a debate about it and try to change what's bad and promote what's good. Any culture that sweeps things under the rug will rot from the head down very, very quickly. Now, I have a lot of geopolitical news on the economy, on ISIS, on what's happening to the Second Amendment. There's just a lot of important news. Immigration, it's all coming up today. That's why I broadcast 6 days a week, because so much is happening on the weekend. I like to get a jump on the news Sunday evenings. Then we're back weekdays, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. When I talk about the best of times, worst of times, there is so much incredible goodness in this world, so many positive things, so many good people in the private sector and government and in universities and in the whole culture, farmers, ranchers, auto mechanics, school teachers, it doesn't matter. Individually, there's a lot of beautiful people. But when we look at so many of the special interests that reside at the top of the pyramid, they want to secure their gains, much of which was gotten through government contracts and insider crony capitalist deals, that they want to bring in socialism for the grassroots to suppress us in a domesticated quagmire where we're dependent on them like fish in a tank to be fed and to be taken care of. Well, I don't want to live like an animal. I want to control my own destiny. I want my children to be able to be free thinkers and worship what gods or not they will. the so-called atheists, those that promote the state, they want to be God. They want to be in charge. And I'm here to tell you, I am for separation of church and state. In this deceived world, we're taught by the authoritarians that call themselves liberals. The separation of church and state means the government runs the churches, and you can't tell people about Jesus Christ at a public school at lunch if you're a student, but they can tell you all day long about any other god or culture or Harry Potter that they see fit. When in truth, separation of church and state means Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion and prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It means government, centrally, has no jurisdiction. It's as if they're blind. It's not their world. It's not their sector. It's not their prerogative to even have an opinion or to open their mouths. Instead, we have state-run religion under 501c3 in this country. And when I try to go to Baptist churches in town, they'll have little handouts. I've showed them on air where they say, even when you go to this picnic, don't discuss politics personally. There is no law. There is no regulation. There is only the intimidation of the central government and the fact that we now, to a great extent, have a state-run church in this country and state-run media. But our money that's supposed to be run by Congress is run by a private bank that calls itself the Federal Reserve. What a joke. And they teach in public schools 2 + 2 = 5 under Common Core. We're living in a Twilight Zone episode. So there's a lot I'm going to cover today, but I'm going to break down coming up in the second hour today something of such massive import that if the public ever knew what I knew, if the public ever knew what Dr. Andrew Wakefield knew, if the public ever knew and ever saw the documents that we're going to present and ever cared, it would cause a chain reaction that would bring this whole system down. Do you care that from 1946 until the late 1970s, there was a secret program to inject black people with syphilis? Do you care there was a program from the 1950s to 1990s to nerve gas U.S. troops until they died and tell their families they died of the flu? It's called Project Shad. See, because if the technocracy that runs things did that in thousands of different studies and tests that the general public's not aware of, the general public's only aware of a few of the more famous ones, what does it say about the people behind the curtain where presidents come and go, bureaucracies stay? What makes this world tick? What is the governing philosophy of the ruling class? I know what it is. I've read their books. I've read their writings. They think you're so stupid, they publish it all in Ecoscience and 1,000 other tomes about their dream that makes Hitler look like a simpleton choir boy. See, that's the world I live in, the real world. So we're going to tell you about the secrets of vaccines, not just from the whistleblowers of 2004, but the whistleblowers of 2014, 10 years later. Another top scientist who co-authored the study in 2004 has gone public saying it was all a fraud. They knew the vaccines were causing autoimmune disorders and inflammation on the brain and in the intestines and stomach and was brain damaging millions of children every year. And it came out 2 weeks ago, and there's been no mainstream media coverage of it as they try to silence the whistleblower. Of course, the study said mercury is good for your child's brain. I don't need to read a study to know that was pure bull. Mercury is one of the most destructive heavy metals in the body. But we're going to break down the truth behind vaccines coming up as well today and let you know what the system doesn't want you to know and what could bring them down.
In this present crisis, Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. From time to time, we've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by self-rule, that government by an elite group is superior to government for, by, and of the people.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Hello, me. Meet the real me. And my misfits wavelength.
That was Ronald Reagan bringing us in from 1984. My most valued possession. And whether Ronald Reagan actually carried out all the things he claimed he stood for, what he stood for, at least verbally, was very good, very Americana. Now we have Obama saying, you didn't build your business, raising the debt limit doesn't raise the debt limit, on and on and on. MSNBC says in promos, your kids belong to the state. They are throwing it in our face. And we know collectivism doesn't work for the average person. It only works for the elites at the top that control the collectivism. Just during the break, I went back in the coffee room to get a glass of iced tea, and we had Fox News and CNN as well on back there, but I was watching Fox News, and they were debating about, oh, Obama's trying to spin this, that he didn't get defeated on immigration reform, but I'll tell you, he did. And then they went to Juan Williams, who was saying, well, the Republicans are very obstructionist, blah, blah, blah. The Republican leadership wrote the amnesty plan. They tried to pass it three times under George W. Bush. The big banks, the big multinationals want to drive wages down. They want to politically be able to control the population. They want to make this country a third world nation. Let's get that straight. The Republican leadership wrote, with Ezekiel Emanuel from the Democrats, Obamacare. Our problem is the Republican leadership. Our problem is the rhinos. Our problem is that we don't have two political parties in this country. We have one elitist globalist party, and you've got both the Democrats and Republicans together as two wings of the same bird trying to destroy the Tea Party and anybody who doesn't want to sell this country down the river. They want to butcher this nation like a Christmas hog. They want to render us down like a corporate takeover of a healthy company. They want to subdivide and sell off the assets and take a windfall profit up front when it's 1/1,000,000th of what we could do as a nation based on liberty and freedom. They are a bunch of pirates. But even the politically savvy only read the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and watch Fox News. People that think they're savvy tune in and go, yeah, Obama, man, he sure got it on immigration. Oh, he sure got it. The borders are wide open since the beginning of this year. We proved it, but it's since been in the precious New York Times, so it exists now. Did a tree fall in the forest make a sound? Only the New York Times reports on it. That they bring the illegals in unlimited of any age, load them on buses, give them federal vouchers to bus them anywhere they want to go. And there is just a flood of hundreds of thousands of people 17 years old or younger, but they're only a small percentage of the overall flood. And again, we got checkpoints on highways, TSA checkpoints, all this garbage. The illegals can fly without ID. I'm just pointing out the whole war on terror is a hoax. The whole security state in the name of keeping us safe is a fraud. While the border's wide open, you better not try to put me in a naked body scanner or fondle me, okay? Or my family. I'm sick of it. I've had enough of the NSA spying on me to stop Al-Qaeda, who they've renamed ISIS, who our government gave Stinger missiles to in Benghazi. I told you that back when it happened, 3 days after, with top sources, all confirmed. We broke everything on Benghazi first. I got to enjoy the death threats over it. I got to have the colonel calling me up saying, oh my God, I got to backtrack this on your show. Oh yeah, oh, that's the kind of stuff I have to deal with. CIA whistleblowers, Tosh Plumlee, just, I'm not even bragging. Just do you, is it pearls before swine here, though? Do you realize what you're being given on this show? Do you have any idea how we're light years ahead of anything you're going to get on television anywhere else or radio? And it's not because these other shows don't know. They're all scared. Let me tell you, I don't want higher ratings. I don't want to get any bigger than I am. Do you know how fast this show's exploding? Do you know how big on every platform we're getting? We used to, on our platforms, have 4 or 5 million views on YouTube a week. Now we're getting like 10 million views on YouTube a week. And that's just on our channels. We're getting AM and FM affiliates just everywhere. You know how scary that is? The fact that the public is so awake that we're now seen as mainstream, and it doesn't matter. The establishment doesn't even care. It doesn't even care. I mean, it's just crazy. It's creepy. It's creepy. I don't want to be the only one that knows this. I don't want to be the only one that understands this. I know I'm not the only one. I know you know. So get out there and warn people and expose it. Now, Obama says he's energized, not exhausted. President Obama may seem fatigued after nearly 6 years in office, but he said in an interview airing Sunday, interviewing a former White House official, that's who interviews him, he considers himself energized. Yeah, I just saw the clip. By what he hopes to accomplish before leaving the White House. Obama's hair has grayed, and he's spending less time worried about optics and more time about the golf course. But that doesn't mean he's exhausted, he told NBC's Chuck Todd. He said some have suggested the president might be. He wanted to say that, I know, I've actually feel energized about the opportunities we've got. Yeah. Is Obama defeated not getting amnesty with an executive order that's unconstitutional? See, when an executive order is treason to just get rid of the border and legalize anybody they feel like, when that can't be done because the public's awake to it, you just do it without even an order, just with a secret order. And then you have the Republicans come out and announce Obama's defeated, the border's secure, and all the Republicans go back in their holes or go back to the golf course and go to sleep. That's how the fake Republicanoid Fox News people control their only opposition that the globalists see is the conservative libertarian movement in this country. They play you like a fiddle over and over and over and over again. I've seen some criticism. It's a small amount of criticism, but in the aggregate, but it's substantial when you have millions of listeners every day, saying, Alex, I've been listening to you for 15 years, and I've never heard you endorse a war. I hate your guts now that you support Rand Paul saying that we should target and bomb ISIS. Let me explain something. When Saudi Arabia supposedly is involved in the very suspicious attacks of 9/11, and then we attack Iraq with no proof, I was against that. When we attack Syria, who's fighting Al-Qaeda, when Syria didn't do anything to anybody, I'm against it, just like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and others were. I'm a moral person. I try to judge and go with my gut and go with intellectual analysis. ISIS is real, folks. There's hundreds of thousands of them. At least 100,000 in Iraq, over 200,000 jihadis in Syria, blowing up every mosque that's not radical, blowing up every church, cutting Christians' heads off, blowing up ancient Jewish shrines, engaging in true war crimes. And I am for taking them out. In fact, not just stopping them, destroying them. The problem is our government helped create them. So when we come back, I'm going to break down the latest on ISIS. The imminent threat Homeland Security says will happen, they believe, by September 11th. I don't know if that's true. We're going to look at our reporters are on the border. That's all coming up straight ahead. I'm going to explain why I'm for striking ISIS. Stop tyranny?
You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
George Washington once said that government is a dangerous, dangerous servant like fire. It's a dangerous servant and a fearful master. Power tends to corrupt, Lord Acton said, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that tends to explain the situation our world is in right now. Now, I've talked a lot about this, and anybody can search engine the terms I'm going to put out right now, or you can read articles at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com to prove this to yourself. But Saudi Arabia is the center of Islam. Mecca is based there. Muhammad came from that region that is now Saudi Arabia since 1931. And 79% of Islam is Sunni. And 15% or so of that, 10-15% of that, is Wahhabist. And those are the folks that basically behave like a group of gremlins on PCP. They're the ones that like to saw little kids' heads off and things for no reason at all and eat hearts on television and the rest of it. The craziest tend to rule and lead this group. They make the bad guys in the Road Warrior look like Cub Scout leaders. Let's just say they're scum of the earth. British intelligence over 100 years ago basically financed them to take over the Middle East. You can look that up, Lawrence of Arabia, the whole nine yards. Because no one can deny they're vicious. And they wanted to counter the Ottoman Empire and collapse it, and they did. What was left of it, some of the vestigial parts of it. But the issue I want to raise now is that if you don't know history, you are doomed to repeat it. To quote another British statesman. And I remember it was in the Associated Press and other publications, London Telegraph, about a month ago. Don't kick ISIS off the internet. Let them be on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Let them recruit. Because then we could track them better. No, they were given 15,000 heat-seeking missiles. They were allowed to operate because they work for the globalists to destabilize the world. And if ISIS becomes stronger and there's real attacks in the West, they can take American and European liberties in the name of fighting an enemy they created. It doesn't mean they get daily orders from the Pentagon or from Tel Aviv or from Turkey, Istanbul. It means the door's been opened, they've been armed, they've been protected to just run around crazy. They try to take over Kurdistan, take over oil fields. Okay, bomb them. Paint by the numbers, stay where you're supposed to go, ISIS. They've used these groups against our allies in Egypt. You name it. They've taken over Tripoli and Libya and are murdering everybody that isn't a Wahhabist right now. This is the globalist secret army for worldwide destabilization. And then I get up this morning and I go to InfoWars.com and there is mainstream British newspapers with the government saying, let the jihadis, because a bunch of them come from England, come back to England. Then we can understand Al-Qaeda, its new name, ISIS. Just like the leader of the 7/7 bombings, it came out on Fox News and even CNN. We interviewed the former Justice Department counterterrorism director, John Loftus, here on the radio about it, after he was on those shows. He said, no, that's British intelligence. No, they run Al-Qaeda right now. They're in the news today saying, let tens of thousands of jihadis come back to England. Don't block their flight. Senator Ted Cruz introduced a bill to not let you come back if you fight for Al-Qaeda, now named ISIS. And I totally agree. The point is, we all have to lose our liberties and have the NSA spy on us, supposedly because of Al-Qaeda, now known as ISIS or IS, Islamic State, when they're saying, oh, don't shut down their Twitter or Facebook. Let them fly around all they want because they work for the West. And Obama's bombing an old Jeep or bombing some artillery. They're not bombing ISIS. They've been funding them for 4 years to bring down Syria. And when they couldn't, they spilt back into Iraq across the border and are now supposed to set up their new Islamic State, taking part of Syria. If they get outside of it, they get bombed. They have a treatment they do for burns and other infections. They'll actually put maggot eggs inside your body where you have gangrene or whatever, and the maggots, the fly larva, will eat the rotten meat. And if they get outside that area, you just burn them with a laser. That's kind of what this is. They planted a bunch of fly eggs in the Middle East, and they're only allowed to eat the areas that they're supposed to be in. It's like Al-Qaeda is like globalist nanotech or something. And that's what's happening. I mean, here are the headlines. U.S. military launches airstrikes near Iraq's Haditha Dam, where al-Qaeda has taken over for months, known as ISIS. ISIS fighters must be allowed back into the U.K., says ex-MI6 chief. Counterterrorism expert Richard Barrett says repentant jihadists... Oh, I'm repentant. Remember, the head of the 7/7 bombings, it turned out, was MI6. Oh, the people blowing themselves up were real, but they were working for MI6. I'm going to say this again. MI6 literally went out and found nutballs, had them go carry out the attack bare minimum, and then protected their leader, what was his name, Rashid Aswat, who still ought to live in a mansion and fly around and be free. No, don't let these people in to blow stuff up so you can take my freedom. No, 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 no! Do you understand this? Our governments are funding these crazy people, letting them in to do this. I get censored on Facebook and Twitter all the time. Navy SEALs that exposed Obama on Benghazi had their Facebook shut down. It became national news last year. Do you understand? We have some viral meme that's reaching tens of millions. They just kill it. But ISIS is allowed to operate. I am not allowed to operate to try to expose all this or expose vaccine damage or GMO dangers killing rats. I just want public good. I just want to help society. I'm no angel, but I have an instinct to want to do good, do no harm. I'm not a doctor. I'm not taking a Hippocratic oath, but I get it. Look at this. And then we've got links in this article here from the London Observer. Where they go through it all, they're announcing, oh, let the jihadis that are eating hearts, sawing off heads, blowing up churches, blowing up non-radical Muslim mosques. I mean, they've killed over 400,000 people, 300,000, Lancet Journal, in Syria, 100,000 in Iraq. That's a conservative number. Let's let them back in, okay? But when I flew back in from Grand Cayman a few months ago, I'd been put on a terror watch list and had to get interrogated. And when the customs officials came out, they said, we're listeners. We can't believe this. We're so ashamed. And just said, you can go. But they said, soon, Mr. Jones, there'll be a robot, a computer in control. We won't be able to let you back in. We're sorry. Okay, so you understand, I won't be able to leave the country or come back soon, but ISIS can. Because this is going on here in the U.S. It turns out ISIS is going back and forth between the Middle East and the U.S., that was in ABC News a few days ago, and they are in the news going, well, we need to let them in, blah, 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 we can track them. What, you can track the spiders you put in our bed, and then when they bite us, you're there selling us anti-spider venom, which is tyranny? Look at this article. Don't bomb ISIS, Syria, Iraq, Iran, or anyplace else, from Lou Rockwell. I want to get Lou Rockwell on about this week, but look, I get not being for war. I've never supported one military action. And quite frankly, they won't really target ISIS here, so it'll all be fake. But in spirit, I agree with Rand Paul saying, don't stop ISIS, destroy ISIS. This is al-Qaeda. Again, the war on terror is fake, but it doesn't mean there isn't real terrorists. The war on terror helps create these pieces of crap. They have to be dealt with. Now, we've got one of the biggest medical stories ever. This is huge whistleblower level, confirmed, documented info coming up.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Friday, we had William Binney, who was the director of the National Security Agency Technology Division, basically number three or number four in the whole agency, that they've tried to put in prison for exposing the illegal spying, the highest level NSA whistleblower ever. The guy is a complete hero. They've tried to destroy him. It's like a Hollywood movie, what they've done to him. We have another hero with us this hour into the next hour, and that's Dr. Andrew Wakefield, who is a medical doctor, MD, MB in England, lives here in Austin. And he's an academic, a gastroenterologist, if I'm pronouncing that wrong, receiving his medical degree from St. Mary's Hospital Medical School, University of London, and other degrees, Royal College of pathologist. I'm not going to go over his whole background. AutismMediaChannel.com is a good website to check. We'll also give you his YouTube channel as well, Autism Media Channel. I got a call from about 2 weeks ago, a few days before it broke, saying a major CDC scientist, Centers for Disease Control, is going to go public in the next week. And we'd like to work with you on this. They were part of the study in 2004, a study we've ridiculed where they say mercury's good for children's brains. It's like saying bullets are good for your head. I'm no scientist. I know mercury's deadly for the brain. I know electrochemically, we've shown electron microscope clips on television from universities. There's nothing more destructive in the brain from my research except cyanide. And it's debated whether it's worse than cyanide in brain tissue. It may be worse. So he's saying mercury's bad. He's the kook. He's the weirdo. He's saying 2 + 2 = 4. We're going to throw some tomatoes at him here. That's what mainstream media did. So they came out with this article a few years ago saying a hoax. He's been discredited with his study. There's no links to autism for his valiant study in England with children. Turned out the British government years before already knew it, had done a similar study. We had whistleblowers on Tamiflu from the CDC. The director of its own memo came out in 2004 from 2000 that they knew it was causing autism and said, don't give it to your kids. That was in the meetings. There it is, CDC. Natural, neutral on Tamiflu and flu vaccine for toddlers. So they try all sorts of spin out there. He'll be with us throughout the next hour, but no media covered one of the top scientists, a co-author of the pro-vaccine story. This scientist has now gone public saying in one area, it tripled autism in black male boys. We'll explain why it targets boys more than girls with Dr. Wakefield. But we got 7 minutes till break, sir. I want to give you the floor here, but you are such a hero, just like William Binney of the NSA, a director of their technology division, going public. You hit the barbed wire first. You charged the machine gun nest. You were absolutely attacked, lied about. You're suing in court. It's gone to the appellate about the defamation that you believe is clearly there. I agree with you. But this is the type of stuff that they engage in. It's a hoax. Wakefield's wrong. Water is not wet. The sky is not blue. 2 + 2 = 1 billion, not 4. But this is such a huge victory, and you told me as you came in beaming. So I know you've lived in Austin 4, 5, 6 years. I've gotten to know you well. You've been a little bit depressed. Now you seem to be beaming another victory with more whistleblowers on vaccines coming out. We're really seeing humanity find its soul again, and I've just got to congratulate you on what you've done for humanity. You said, don't congratulate me during the break, and I had a tear in your eye. How many children have been put against the wall, lined up in a vaccine firing squad? And it's not that we're against the science of inoculation. I know there's some truth to that. You have said that yourself. It's that what they're putting in it, what they're doing is so dangerous. So you're the expert. Tell us what's coming up in the next hour and how big this new whistleblower is and why they're blacking it out. Dr. Andrew Wakefield.
Alex, it's great to be back. Thank you very much. This has been a momentous couple of weeks. I don't remember anything quite like it in the last 20 years. But just to back up a little bit, the first study we did was on the MMR vaccine back in 1998. And that was a vaccine, a live viral vaccine that parents had linked to autism. It did not have thimerosal in, but many of the other vaccines, particularly those in use in this country, did have thimerosal, the mercury preservative. That had been implicated in neurodevelopmental disorders over here. And we think, as you pointed out, that these things are interacting with each other to potentiate the risk. But just in the last 2 weeks, and great thanks, great credit to Brian Hooker, Dr. Brian Hooker, who bought this whistleblower out. Dr. William Thompson, a senior scientist at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, has come forward and admitted to 13 years of fraud and cover-up of the link between MMR vaccine and autism.
Because of a tortured conscience.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is epic. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, he did that. And he raised these concerns way back in 2001, 2002. He went right to the top of the CDC to Julie Gerberding, who, as you well know, went straight from the CDC to become head of vaccines at Merck.
So he's been a tortured soul for 14 years worried about this.
Yes, he has. And he finally came forward to Dr. Hooker and he really spilled his heart out and told him the truth about what had happened. They had tested the hypothesis, the idea that the younger age of exposure that you got the MMR, the greater the risk of autism. That makes sense because when you get natural measles, if you get it under one, then the outcome is likely to be worse than if you get it over one. So we see this with natural infection. In fact, we put that idea forward to the CDC back in 2000, 2001. So they tested that idea and they showed that it was correct. They spent the next 3 years working out how to get rid of that effect so that they didn't have to admit to the fact that MMR vaccine was, in fact, for some children not safe.
And he's come out with his lawyer for 2 weeks, and I've seen almost no mainstream media coverage of this. Do these reporters not care about their children? Do we know how they're... Because even if it wasn't true, even if he was crazy, which no one's saying, this is a big issue to have one of the main authors in a multi-$100 million facility system saying, we covered this up. This is definitely causing autism in boys threefold. I mean, this is just giant news. And so there's a whole other story here. How is the media so controlled that this vindicating information that could save tens of millions of children's brains with autism going from 1 in 30,000 to 1 in 68 now, just epidemic, how could this not be national news?
It is extraordinary, isn't it, how much the media is controlled, is owned by, I believe, their sponsors and influence from the government. It is incredible. I mean, what Dr. Thompson described, and let me just give you the context here. If this were a money laundering ring, Dr. Thompson would be the accountant. He is the man with the numbers. He did the analysis. He knows. So he is the key guy. And when he comes forward and says this, then you better take it.
He's the comptroller, the kingpin.
Absolutely.
This isn't some low level. This is like the guy that saw the BS.
Absolutely. He saw it. He pointed it out. He pointed out to the highest level in the CDC. And instead of being acted upon, he was disciplined instead. So that is...
As you were.
Exactly. That seems to be the modus operandi if you come forward with concerns about vaccine safety.
How dare you not want to have millions of brain-damaged children on your hands?
Yeah.
That's...
And it's even more insidious than that, Alex, because what he found, as the alternative media have reported, is that the effect was driven by a very high risk in black boys. Why that was, we don't know. Why particularly black boys? Is that a genetic component to the risk? We don't know. But I said to him, what do these data say? Are they telling us that actually MMR vaccine is a risk for autism per se, and that younger age of exposure is a particular risk in the African-American male population? He said, absolutely.
Well, I've seen the studies on fluoride. It hits black males more. What's the difference between boys and girls? I mean, medical doctors always tell me girls are tougher than boys. Not physically in a fist fight, but just blood-brain barrier.
Yeah, they're tougher in many ways. I mean, the infant mortality in girls historically from infectious disease was lower than boys. Boys, maybe their immune system developed later. There is clearly an effect of hormones. If you look at the work of Boyd Haley and you put neurons in culture and add thimerosal, then it kills them. If you add thimerosal and testosterone, it kills them at a much higher rate. So there's some kind of chemical interaction between these things that may enhance the...
Sure.
The risk to boys.
Humans, from what I've read, males are the supercharged version of Homo sapien, almost a derivative of females if you get into the deeper science. That's why we can't handle these insults. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Dr. Andrew Wakefield. This is concerning everyone. Our children are in trouble. Millions of children are diagnosed in the U.S. alone every year with autism. It's a crisis. We have the answers. We know from whistleblowers... 360 degrees, there's a cover-up. And now a key man at a comptroller level, witnessing the statistics being manipulated, has gone public, and you've heard nothing about it. Tell your friends and family to tune in right now. The answer on vaccine safety, straight ahead.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We have all this other world news going on, but this is something we can do something about. And we're going to talk about in the next segment. We're not against the science of vaccines. We understand you can learn immunity. It's that we have this, it's like nuclear power. I'd be for nuclear power if they could do it right, but it has a horrible track record. Dr. Wakefield, tell folks what's coming up in the next two long segments. I mean, this really is epic. We were talking about it during the break.
Well, I want to talk about the reiterate that this isn't anti-vaccine. It's about a safe, effective vaccination policy. I want to talk about a recent case, another whistleblower case from about Merck, about Dr. Steve Kralin, who blew the whistle on fraud in alleged fraud in Merck's MMR vaccine lab. That there was a ruling on that in the appellate court just on Friday, and I think that's an important thing. You and I have covered it before, and I want to bring people up to date with that. And then to talk about the broader implications for what we've seen in the last 2 weeks and what has to happen next, what the public can do to make a change.
Historically, things seem to come in cascades. More will happen in a month than happens in 5 years. I think we're reaching a tipping point right now with the public, with everybody, about vaccines.
Well, I think the problem is that it's self-fulfilling. There are so many damaged children out there with parents saying the same things. They weren't anti-vaccine. They took their children to be vaccinated along to the doctor, and they tell the same story. Regression after immunization, asthma after immunization, allergies after immunization, insulin-dependent.
Every vet I know says don't give dogs all the shots. It causes their allergies.
The vets have been onto this for much, much longer than mainstream medicine has. They stopped giving thimerosal in vaccines many, many years before it was taken out of the majority of childhood immunizations. It's still in the influenza vaccine. It's still in the vaccine given to pregnant women and to infants of...
I'm not a medical doctor. I know mercury's not good. And if you eject it right in the blood, it goes in the brain?
That's right. It is a highly toxic substance. It had never had any right being in there. It's never been tested for safety. It was grandfathered in, and it is extremely dangerous.
How can my water supply not have one part per 5 million of arsenic or mercury, but they can put it in the shot?
Yeah, it is quite alarming. And I think one of the concerns is that if you took it out of all of them and you suddenly saw a precipitous fall in autism rates, then you'd have your answer. And I think it's very cynical to suggest it, but over the years, I cannot understand any other reason why you would take it out of the other vaccines and then put it straight back in the influenza vaccine.
I remember in 2004 reading the ABC News articles and others about where they had that meeting, that conference with the CDC leaders saying, we know it's doing it, we've got to cover it up. Why wouldn't you just say, we didn't know, expose it, and then it would be not one-tenth the problem of covering it up? Once you actively cover it up, you become an accomplice. I mean, if I was told this is brain-damaging kids, I'd go public even if it destroyed me. I just don't get how they think they're going to cover it up. Because it's, as you said, the damage just continues. It's going to be like Nuremberg trials. These people are in deep crap.
You're right. So there's a pattern of recidivism in the CDC. When they find a signal that they don't like, they get into a room and they make that signal go away. And that's exactly what they did at the Simpsonwood meeting with thimerosal. They had a very high risk, which they whittled down and whittled down and whittled down until they came out of that room and said, there's no risk at all. Yes, there was a risk. So we see this same pattern of behavior. And Dr. Thompson said this to Brian Hooker in a telephone conversation. They go into a room and they get rid of the effect. They cannot go out there and publicly say, vaccines aren't safe.
They are putting kids in front of a firing squad. How do they rationalize that? I mean, I get sad. Do you get sad when you see little kids, period, or a pregnant woman, and want to warn them? Because I just do it everywhere. It's my family's sick of it.
Yeah, I say go and get informed. Read all the information. If you're going to read the CDC's website, go and read the NVIC website as well, and you'll get the counterpoint. You'll get the information. But there is no excuse nowadays not to be fully informed.
All I know is I take my children to movies, and I mean, it's like 10%, 20% is autistic kids. You see them when you come in, they're yelling through the movie. That wasn't the movies 20 years ago. I mean, it's like I go to restaurants, I see kids that are just obviously totally brain damaged. I mean, it's just, I can just see, like, it's like we had a huge war, and there's all these wounded men with their arms and legs blown off, but it's kids, Dr. Wakefield. It's like I can just see the damage everywhere. Stay with us.
KLON, Los Angeles. Clone Radio. We play the songs that sound more like everyone else than anyone else.
Clone.
Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. The Republic will rise again when you attempt to take our guns.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
We're into the second hour on this live Sunday, September 7th, worldwide transmission. I cannot think of a more epic, I mean, I'm using that word four or five times today, show than what's happening right now. We have, from 2004, the CDC documents. We've shown them on screen for TV viewers, where the director of it said in meetings, I wouldn't give my grandson this, it's horrible, we've got to cover it up, autism from the mercury, the thimerosal. We've got all these scientists coming out. We've got a new whistleblower who was basically the head of the study saying the CDC covered up data showing vaccine autism link. That's Time.com, Time Magazine. We have another ruling Friday saying lawsuits go ahead by whistleblowers exposing that they were there and told to shut up about it causing brain damage and problems. I want to be clear. Dr. Wakefield was earlier. One of the first major whistleblowers himself in a study. He was attacked over it. Now been vindicated. That we're not against the science of this learned immunity. Clearly, this is real. They've been doing vaccinations for smallpox for 500 years. It's, you know, Benjamin Franklin talked about it. It's that these companies are out of control. They have liability protection. We've gone from autism, 1 in 30,000 to 1 in 68. That's CDC's own numbers. There's brain damaged kids everywhere. It's getting worse. They want more vaccines pushed on the public. Gardasil, killing all these people on the trials. India and Japan have banned it. We haven't. This is a scandal. These corporations want to mandate we take this stuff and not have to have it safe or even partially safe. They say safe and effective. So, Dr. Wakefield, I want to play a clip here before you recap what's happened and get into how big this is. From 2004, when this study came out that this top-level CDC doctor is exposing, we're going to name him and go through the articles in a moment, but even Time Magazine's covering this now. Again, even this is a big victory, folks. I'm getting goosebumps right now. This is so exciting because I personalize all these kids and pregnant women. I worry about this. None of my three children have been vaccinated. And as you said, they're as healthy as a butcher shop dog. I mean, they are doing well. I want to warn people. I have goodwill. So this is a big victory. But here they are saying mercury's good for a child's brain when thousands of other studies say it electrochemically literally rots holes in your brain. Here is CBS News promoting this very study.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics. There have been widespread concerns that mercury-based preservatives in vaccines might impair the neurological development of children. These new studies suggest that the opposite, that the preservatives may actually be associated with improved behavior and mental performance.
Mercury is associated with better learning and mental performance. Dr. Wakefield, folks can go to your YouTube channel, Austin Media, Autism Media Channel on YouTube or autismmediachannel.com. Break it down, recap for folks how big this is. A super high-level whistleblower saying they knew and were ordered to cover it up.
Thank you, Alex. Yeah, let me just recap. So in the last 2 weeks, Dr. William Thompson, a senior scientist, an epidemiologist, statistician from the CDC, has come forward under the guidance of Dr. Brian Hooker, father of an autistic child and a vaccine safety researcher, and disclosed 13 years of cover-up of the fact that MMR vaccine is strongly associated with autism, particularly in African-American boys, and I should say, children who have no pre-existing disorders, irrespective of race. So this could be children with what's called isolated autism. They don't have mental retardation as judged by IQ. They don't have a genetic basis for it, and they don't have cerebral palsy. And he said, in the words of Dr. Thompson, this is exactly the group that you would expect to see an effect in. So they've been covering it up for 13 years. They knew there was a risk, and one wonders how many children have been permanently neurologically injured in the meantime while they knew that this effect was real.
But now they're going to double down, because as more whistleblowers come out, as just happened this week with another, they're all going to prison if this ever comes out. I mean, just like 5 years ago, they would say, don't give a pregnant woman any vaccines. Now they say pregnant women need more. It's well known it causes problems with the fetus. So their answer is just say, no, it's like pumpkin pie. There just seems to be a Hitlerian commitment to this.
There is. It's almost like a religion. It's the first thing that happens is if you question vaccine safety, then you're put in a corner and said, people say you're anti-vaccine, that you clearly can't be listened to because you're not talking science. That's just a convenient way of dismissing.
I wish there was a vaccine for all this different stuff. I want to be healthy. I want my kids to be protected from tetanus and stuff. I mean, it's just the problem is they have a huge history of tetanus shots full of problems.
Yeah, it raises another issue, Alex, and that is the problem, for example, with MMR, because it's three viruses in one vaccine. If you gave them separately, would you have less of a problem? And we didn't see this issue when we had the single measles vaccine. That's something I've always advocated. Give parents the choice of single vaccines. And you know what happened in the UK when I suggested that. 6 months later, they took away the choice of single vaccine.
They got upset because it showed you were right.
Well, they said we need to protect the vaccine policy rather than the children. That was the net effect of what they said. So we'll take away the choice of single vaccines. Our emphasis is not necessarily to protect children from infectious disease, but to protect our vaccine policy. This is a story that came from a senior member of the Department of Health.
It's like having one glass of wine or 20. If you're going to do it in a cost-benefit analysis or in a risk-benefit analysis, do what's safest. Give one at a time. Watch it. Study it. No. Just give total protection. Do whatever we want.
Now, here's the problem, Alex, is once this story comes out, once public confidence in the vaccine policymakers is eroded, as it will be because Dr. William Thompson has come forward and told this story, clearly mitigating everything that we've been told over the last 20 years.
Validating everything you've said.
Then parents are going to say, we don't trust you anymore. And they will vote with their feet. They will stop vaccinating across the board. And it will be the vaccine policymakers themselves and those who have indulged in what is, in effect, a crime, this cover-up, who will be responsible for falling vaccine uptake rates and the return of infectious disease. But you know what? It will be blamed upon Jenny McCarthy, or it'll be blamed upon me, or it'll be blamed upon Rob Snyder or someone else who has come forward and said, we have genuine concerns.
Well, when you're Jenny McCarthy or somebody and you take your child in for the third round of shots, they have a convulsion and can't talk anymore. I mean, it's clear this did it. It's like saying if a Mack truck runs you over, it didn't do it. They're so committed, though. But how can the system defeat hundreds of millions of parents worldwide, tens of millions in the U.S., millions in the U.K., millions in Germany, millions? How can they defeat parents who have a child that was happy and healthy after vaccines that's brain damaged? How do they ever think they're going to get away with this? As the damage mounts, they're only going to create more opposition. Don't they get it's a losing battle?
They don't. I think they're beginning to now because they are losing so badly. They've spent billions of dollars, billions of pounds on expensive public relations campaigns, and they are losing. They are losing the hearts and minds of the public. Why? Because it is true. Not because I say so, not because Jenny McCarthy says so, but because they see it in their own streets.
Their own top scientists said they were ordered to cover it up.
That's exactly right. So now the whole house of cards is going to fall. And the other thing that came out recently on Friday, I was mentioning it, that Steve Kralin, a scientist working in the MMR vaccine lab of Merck, reported fraud in that laboratory, overestimating the effectiveness of the mumps vaccine. We were seeing mumps outbreaks all around the world in children who'd had 2-3 doses of mumps.
They were being connected to the shot, right?
That's right. And what they were saying is the vaccine is not working because these children are getting mumps when they've had 2 or 3 doses.
Stay there. Tell us about it in the next segment. Incredible. Tell your friends and family, tune in.
We've got it. The transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are a go.
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Now, investigative journalist John Rappaport, who's been all over this for decades, is going to be joining us coming up in the next two segments. But I've got all this world news to cover. It's all incredibly important and interesting, but we know that the vaccines are causing autoimmune disorders, causing problems in the guts of children. We know the shock vaccine was declassified, had SV40 cancer virus in it. And these companies have liability protection. Vaccines are extremely dangerous. They're extremely complex. It's not like a drug. We're going to get some heart medicine or Rogaine for your hair falling out. This is DNA, RNA. This is very complex manipulations. And they grow this stuff in these big tanks and don't clean them out properly. There's all sorts of issues. Now, you know I've documented a lot of this is on purpose, but Dr. Andrew Wakefield's our guest. Sir, we've got the investigative journalist joining us to bring up some questions and comments with you, but continuing with the new info, more whistleblowers coming out, not just this top scientist, but more. Where do you expect the establishment to go from here as their whole house of cards collapses?
Well, it's very interesting. Steve Carlin came forward from Merck 9 years ago. I think he approached me at a meeting in Chicago back then with some extraordinary information about manipulation of data in Merck's vaccine lab to falsely elevate the protective efficacy of their vaccine.
And these are people that lose their jobs, risk their jobs, their lives, because they're not psychotic killers. They understand, hey, we're hurting people, we better talk about it. These are heroes for doing the right thing.
That's right. So their mumps vaccine was not working. We were seeing outbreaks of mumps in highly vaccinated populations around the world. And so they were told by the FDA, either you prove what it says on your product insert, 96% protection, or you lose your license. Now, you lose a license for mumps, you lose the license for MMR, and Merck have got a monopoly in this country, and that's a lot of money. So they set about trying to fix the test, not the vaccine. They had two options. They could act in the children's interests, or they could act in Merck interests. And what they did, apparently, is to act in Merck's interests and fix the test. So what they did to the test is to add rabbit's blood to it.
Unbelievable.
Rabbit's blood. Absolutely nothing to do with the ability of the mumps vaccine to protect children, but add rabbit's blood.
Is that because the rabbits have an immunity?
No, it's because it falsely elevates the protection of the apparent protection of the vaccine without doing it at all. It's an artifact. It's a lab effect. It's nothing to do with immunity at all. So when they did that, it worked. But what they did...
So they engaged in fraud.
They engaged in fraud. They asked him to fix his data. They asked him to cross out what he'd written before, write some new numbers, which convinced the FDA that the vaccine was right. He took them to a whistleblower court. He filed a case, took it to court. And the good news is that Merck, having tried to have it thrown out of court, have just on Friday lost that case, and it will proceed to trial. And so for everybody, that is very, very good news, because what it will eventually do is bring out the truth about the efficacy and safety of that vaccine, and I believe lead to the demise of the MMR vaccine as it currently is. That is not that it will get rid of single vaccine. Maybe we should go back to single vaccines because they're protective, but mumps vaccine was never needed. And this is the important point. This comes not from me, but from Donald Henderson, who was head of the smallpox eradication program at the CDC. He said it wasn't needed. They did a study when it first was introduced. They said, we don't need this vaccine. And it slowly appeared on... Now, here's the fascinating... I'll tell you a story about this. They did a study. The vaccine wasn't needed. They said to Morris Hillerman of Merck, we don't need this. So he went state by state by state, persuading health officials to introduce it. In the end, so many states were using it that the CDC said, in Donald Henderson's words, oh, to hell with it. We might as well put it on the schedule. That's the scientific basis for the use of mandatory mumps vaccination in this country. From the man himself, Dr. Donald Henderson, oh, to hell with it.
But I even see mainstream articles in the Sacramento Bee where they admit that they have outbreaks in California caused by the vaccines. I mean, more and more, they can't cover this stuff up. And I just wonder, what's going on in this industry? Because I know you can get immunity from vaccines. I know there's a real science there. Why is it so screwed up? Why is it so bad? Why is it causing so many problems? Is it just the arrogance of the industry? Just that there's nothing there, no checks and balances?
There are very few checks and balances, and there is a great deal of profit to be made, as you point out, without any liability at all. there is a very interesting phenomenon, rather like the antibiotic-resistant bacteria. We're seeing this now emerge in vaccine technology, that we're getting bacteria, pertussis, for example, that is resistant to the current vaccine in use. Now, what that means is that we see these escape mutants, these mutants that are then resistant to the current vaccine, so they will introduce a new vaccine that deals, at least temporarily, with that escape mutant.
That causes another super mutant.
Well, this is the problem is that it's you're on a treadmill for the rest of time, because not only will children have to have the existing pertussis vaccine, but they will also have to have the new one.
And so it's Pandora's box.
Yes, I think people didn't think through this, and they didn't think through it with antibiotics, and they didn't think through it with vaccines. But we're starting to see the emergence of these super strains now, and we need to be very, very careful. We need to think very carefully.
Unless you want to just medicalize life itself without Merck and without all these other companies, you just can't live. You got to have maybe daily shots. I mean, what about the connections I've seen in studies to all the incredible problems we're seeing with allergies connected to vaccines?
Well, there's no doubt that there has been an explosion of immune-mediated diseases in children in particular. So there is chronic morbidity in this country from immune diseases such as asthma, eczema, hay fever, Crohn's disease, an inflammatory bowel disease.
Directly linked to vaccines.
Insulin-dependent diabetes, this kind of thing, unprecedented levels. Now, these are immune-mediated diseases. So if you're looking for the cause of these issues, you need to look at the things that educate the immune system very, very early on. Now, historically, that was infection. Now that's been superseded by vaccination. So it makes a great deal of sense. There is biological plausibility to looking at vaccines as a possible cause, and there's an abundance of literature which supports that.
Well, we talk privately. I worked for a small animal vet and a large animal vet in high school into college. I worked overall 4 years total. They knew then, tell people, don't give your kids vaccines. We don't give them to the dogs or they get sick. It's the vets, you were saying earlier, that are really aware of this.
Yeah, the vets have been onto it for a long time. No multiple vaccines, spread them out, get thimerosal out of vaccines, and don't vaccinate if it's unnecessary. This isn't just some huge...
Because they could see it in something with a shorter life cycle. They could see it in a dog or a cat.
Yeah, and because there's less of a pressure on them from public health officials and the pharmaceutical industry reps who visit and bribe, that there's less pressure on them to keep giving these vaccines. It's become so much of an industry now in pediatrics and mainstream medicine that it's insidious and it is pervasive, and it's something we've got to stand back from and take very, very seriously.
Austin Media Channel. I keep saying Austin because we're in Austin. Autism Media Channel on YouTube. AutismMediaChannel.com is the website, but the best place is YouTube. Autism Media Channel on YouTube. Dr. Andrew Wakefield's our guest. Investigative journalist is joining us. John Rappaport straight ahead. But we'll also talk about the persecution of whistleblowers that try to tell the truth. But what happens when more and more whistleblowers come out? The system collapses.
Hello, this is Hank Hill, and I'm telling you what, you need to listen to Alex Jones.
Yeah, yeah. Infowars.com. Yeah.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
You know, it's really funny that they played that liner, my buddy Mike Judge, King of the Hill, Beavis and Butthead creator, Extract, Idiocracy, Silicon Valley. It's funny, I didn't tell you guys to air that. You probably don't even know. I won't give the inside baseball, because some of it's private, that Mike, as a child, he believes damaged by vaccines. That's one reason he listens to the show. So we're so touched by vaccines and autism that it is just so epic that it even affected somebody like Mike Judge, who we just played an intro with. It's incredible. We have investigative journalist John Rappaport joining us. But you were talking during the break, Dr. Wakefield, who I wouldn't call you a whistleblower. You did a study. You showed the gut-brain connection. They came after you. They put a hoax out saying you were a liar. You sued them. That's in court right now. I mean, they may sue me saying the sky isn't blue tomorrow at high noon. I mean, it's just incredible how many whistleblowers. Like I said, the NSA is not spying on you. Now it's all admitted. Or we don't fund Al-Qaeda. Now it's all admitted. Or the border's not wide open. Now it's all admitted. They teach in public school in this country 2 + 2 = 5. Well, no, it equals 4. I agree with you. There's a major reckoning coming. Other points about the political response to this. What we do now as more whistleblowers in the CDC go public saying we were ordered to cover up. This is causing autism.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen, Alex. I think that as now Dr. Thompson's come out, now he's admitted in a release from his lawyer that they did in fact hide significant findings and change their protocol to effectively get rid of those findings, that we're going to see more and more people coming forward and saying, I was told to do this. It's part of that corporate infrastructure, you know. It's not my fault, it's his fault, it's their fault. They told me what to do. We're going to see more and more of that. So they can't put any more fingers in the dam and stop it leaking. It is really coming apart. So what needs to happen? The several thing needs to happen. Pediatrics, the journal that published this fraudulent paper in 2004, need to retract that paper.
Normally, they would respond immediately. Because I watch the news every day, right? This would normally be a huge scandal. They would respond, deny, defend, nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
The silence tells a lot.
Yeah, and they were caught with their pants down, basically. They did not see this coming, and now they're scrambling, and they're contradicting themselves. They're furthering the lies. And Cheryl Atkinson, a CBS reporter, ex-CBS reporter, Emmy-winning investigative journalist, absolutely outstanding job.
Amazing.
On this, picking it apart and finding out where the weak points are. And
that's the great news. All these serious journalists from the mainstream are leaving so they can tell the truth.
Yeah, where she was restricted from doing that, in her own words, while working at CBS, she can now get out there and tell the story that needs to be told. So what needs to happen? That paper needs to be retracted from Pediatrics, the journal. The editor at the moment is resisting that. He says that he's been in touch with the authors and they've said, oh, no, it's okay. So she said to him, have you been in touch with Dr. Thompson? Silence. She repeated in writing. So the fact that you're satisfied with this means that you've been in touch with Dr. Thompson and he's okayed it. Silence. No, they have not been in touch with Dr. Thompson and, in fact, haven't been in the last 10 years. They have not gone to the heart of the matter. They've not talked to the man who had his finger on the numbers.
The CDC statistician. Just ignore that.
Yeah, they've ignored him. What we need to do now is to have Dr. Thompson himself retract his name from that paper, and then it cannot stand. We need a political response. We need people to help.
But is not the silence, they're not even attacking, show how weak they are?
Yeah, I think they're scrambling for all kinds of excuses for what he meant, what he said, what actually it means. But mainly it's silence. As you say, there's a radio silence on this because they don't know quite how to deal with it.
But as you said, the truth is there's an army of brain-damaged children and parents that are angry out there. There's the law of numbers and just of everything shows they will end up being brought to justice.
Yeah, I think there was a University of Chicago study that asked the question of parents, do you believe that doctors know that vaccines cause autism and are involved in a cover-up? 20% just said right out of the gate, yes, they do. The important number, Alex, is 36% said, don't know. In other words, they haven't bought in to the propaganda. They haven't bought in to what's being put out there by mainstream media. They don't know. And these are the thinking, reading, talking parents, the educated parents who are questioning this. And what will happen now, I believe, is that 36% or a major part of it will say, wow, these guys were right all along. There's a problem. And so we're going to see a huge shift in people's belief systems.
I want to go to John Rappaport and get his questions and comments and your take on it, Dr. Wakefield. But I'm going to say this again. People think a quarterback that throws a touchdown is a hero, or some guy that paints a beautiful painting, whatever. People that tell the truth, put their careers on the line, and stand up for human justice and liberty are my heroes. You are a hero. Thank you so much for what you've done to humanity. I just am almost speechless to even be here with you and to see you vindicated like this. It just gives me faith in humanity. We're going to turn the corner on this and hopefully save these children out there that are being lined up and given this concoction that these companies come up with. So thank you, Dr. Wakefield.
Alex, you're very kind. I'm just a guy doing a job.
No, I know. You're keeping your soul, doing the right thing. But it's just that In a world of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act, to quote George Orwell.
Well, I put my faith in the parents' story. They know what happened to their child. They weren't anti-vaccine. They saw it happen, and I trust their instincts.
Like the rattlesnake bit me and I got sick. I took the shot, I got sick. You get that 5,000 times, something's going on. The truck ran over me and I had broken bones. I jumped off the cliff and broke my legs. I smoked cigarettes and got lung cancer. I mean, at a certain point, there's a causal connection here.
Yeah.
We're going to break in about 3-4 minutes, but I want to bring John Rappaport in and for the next segment. John, this has been an incredible broadcast tonight. I'm getting all these tweets and comments, people calling me. This is really touching people's soul. Thank God. What do you think as an investigative journalist who for 2 decades has been trying to expose this?
Well, we got an opportunity here, Alex. This is a big time opportunity. We've got a whistleblower from the inside who's gone on the record, written statement, defrauding the public, concealing the truth, hiding the connection between the MMR vaccine and autism, right out there in the open. We broke the code of the protocol. We omitted vital data. So now this guy Thompson has opened the door to other whistleblowers who could come forward. And it's really going to be the online journalists who are going to provide cover and protection for these people. It's not to major media, because we're looking at a blackout there completely. They're hoping the whole thing goes away. I mean, they're talking, major media people are talking with the CDC. They've been talking with the CDC. What do we do? What do you want us to do? How should we respond? Well, we'll just stay silent. Don't say anything, because hopefully this whole thing will blow over. Thompson will not talk to reporters, as he said he was not going to. And eventually, we'll have 16 new scandals and stories in other areas, and people forget all about this. Well, that's not going to happen. So it's up to us, people who write online, to keep this story alive and to provide protection and cover for future whistleblowers who are thinking now, well, maybe it's time I come out too and say, mercury causes autism. You know, we've all known it for the last 20 years, and I'm stepping forward to say that all those studies were frauds too, you know, which they were.
I
pointed this out in writing. I mean, this is no secret. You don't even have to find omitted data. All you have to do is look at the way these studies were constructed, like those famous Verstraten study that was, published 3 different ways before they finally completely scrubbed out any connection between mercury and autism.
It's like the aspartame study. It was killing the monkeys they gave it to, so they just took the ones that lived and excised the ones that died. I mean, it's a total joke. Here's the deal. We got brain-damaged kids coming out of our ears here. We better face this and deal with it so more kids don't get hurt. We all of us have a responsibility. The truth is, if they can't abort a kid before they're born, they want to abort them after they're born. That's the eugenics angle. That's the big sick end of this. And that's why this is happening. We'll be back with John Rappaport and Dr. Andrew Wakefield. Check out the YouTube channel, Autism Media Channel, on YouTube.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups.
You want answers?
You want answers?
So do we.
Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Let's make this a year of action. That's what most Americans want.
Raising the debt ceiling does not increase our debt. Nobody is listening to your telephone calls.
The debate is settled. Climate change is a fact. And if people can't trust not only the executive branch, but also don't trust Congress and don't trust federal judges, then we're going to have some problems here.
What difference at this point does it make?
Everything is awesome.
Oh my gosh, I love this song.
Everything is cool.
Everything is not awesome. We're going to admit the problems we've got. We're going to fix them. Dr. Andrew Wakefield is here with me. Final segment. John Rappaport, investigative journalist. NoMoreFakeNews.com, InfoWars.com, and PrisonPlanet.com are the big mothership websites. We'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing, 11 a.m. Central, live. They've given anthrax shots to the troops that killed a bunch of them. Mainstream news, they stopped those. Smallpox shots. Cancer viruses and polio vaccines. I mean, this is all part of the medical history. So we don't have to just sit here passively and go along with this when the media says every year, it's the law, take shots to go to school. It's not that we're even against the vaccines. It's that the way it's being done is a nightmare. The answer is, why is it being covered up? Dr. Wakefield, you had one other point to make before John Rappaport continued with how big an issue this is, that more and more whistleblowers that are senior coming out saying we were ordered to cover this up. This is huge. You had a point about the federal response, what that should be.
Yeah, I think the first thing to say is that the problem is not the vaccines, as you point out. It's the vaccine policymakers, and it's that. That's what this whistleblower episode has taught us. It's the policymakers who are causing the problems. What we have to have now is oversight, and we'll be releasing a video next week where the whistleblower himself urges Congress to take action. He demands that Congress take this by the horns and sort it out. They can have a congressional hearing of the Oversight Committee within a week of finding a few vials of old smallpox in a cupboard at the FDA. Why can't they? This is so, so much more important, so much more serious, has so many more implications.
How many people out there are going to have a grandson or granddaughter that ends up getting brain damage? They're at your house 1 week, a year and a half old, happy. Next week, they're in diapers for the rest of their life. Don't ignore this. This is the big issue. This is the scourge. John Rappaport, investigative journalist, what's at the bottom of the rabbit hole? Why is the system covering this up? Can they get away with it? Or do they know that once this comes out, their whole house of cards will fall?
Oh, they know, Alex. I mean, this is the cornerstone. This is the fallback position, vaccines. This is the great, you know, cure-all. This is where doctors can point to, oh, well, we ended so much disease through vaccines and so forth. And the evidence is there that vaccines had nothing to do with that. What had to do with that is better nutrition, better sanitation, the rise of the middle class, etc.
Exactly. I've seen those graphs from Australia to the U.S. Until the 30s and 40s, it's going down, infectious disease because of better hygiene. Then vaccines come in, it actually goes up a little, but not compared to what it was.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. So their entire operation across the board as the medical cartel is wobbling on this issue of vaccines. And if they admit more than just a temporary, you know, lack of attention to something in a particular study, I mean, if they were to come out and tell the whole story, the whole house of cards would collapse. So they have to do everything in their power to protect against that happening. And now we have a window of opportunity, which we must not let pass, to expose the entire show, to expose all of it. The chemicals in the vaccines, the live germs in the vaccines, the germs that were put into the vaccines that didn't belong there in the first
fungus,
place.
The viral simulants, it's a nightmare.
You know, it's like a doctor is saying to a mother, okay, so your child is going to be born. And then in the first day of birth, here's what we're going to do. We're going to inject your baby with toxic chemicals, including mercury or possibly aluminum. And then we're also going to put germs in there. And then there will be other germs that got in there, you know, somehow. And we're going to
inject
them. And
then dead hepatitis. As direct. If your child's not having sex or using drugs, why does it need a hepatitis shot?
All right, so they say, and so expectant mother, this is what we're going to do. Is this okay with you? I mean, any sane mother, if it were put that way to her, would say, you're not going to do that by any stretch of the imagination. You're not even going to get close to my kid. But it's all couched in this very academic sort of language. We know through thousands of studies that not only are these things safe, but they're marvels and wonders of the world that prevent disease. This is all complete baloney. And the mothers of autistic children know this. They know there is no way to contradict them. They were there. They
saw. And I want something so my kids don't get sick. But when it has such a horrible track record like Gardasil, that killed all the people in the trials and caused autoimmune disorders and is banned in Japan and India, and then now they want to give it to boys. There just seems to be such an arrogance, Dr. Wakefield. Where does your gut tell you all of this ends? As the vaccine damage mounts, as the autism numbers climb, is there going to be Nuremberg trials for these people down the road?
Well, we have two options now. We've reached a major crossroads. And Dr. Thompson has given us an opportunity. But if we do nothing, if you carry on and you look at the CDC's numbers, it's 1 in 68 now. Then for a child born today, it's going to be 1 in 25. And in 2025, it's going to be 1 in 2 children.
Good God.
A serious neurological problem. Those are the CDC's own numbers.
So half the public, basically, with neurological disorders, sacrificed on the altar of MDs and the vaccines.
But here's the problem, Alex. Nature's medicine gives us the thin end of the wedge to begin with. The leading edge is autism. It's so overt, it's so obvious that we pick it up first. If you are just shaving 9 points off a boy's IQ, how long will it take you to pick that up? 20 years in the case of lead poisoning. So are we seeing a much more pervasive problem with boys failing in school, boys failing in university? They're dropping out, they're on Ritalin.
Because their blood-brain barrier is not as strong as a woman's.
Yeah, well, for many, many reasons that we don't understand. But the point is, this is likely to be, for sound biological reasons, a much more pervasive effect.
A lobotomy of men. This is the... It's on purpose. It's just clear. So this is all trendy liberals. Yeah.
That's one alternative. The other alternative, we take this extremely seriously. We stand back and we say, rationally, let us look at the science of this, or the lack of science, and let us pick this apart and do the safest thing for children if we are going to protect them from infectious disease. And
sure.
And preserve their brains. And their-
well, I mean, as more whistleblowers, senior, come out, how can they prop it up, Dr. Wakefield? I guess they just hope no one talks about it. They hope this audience doesn't spread the word about this podcast or this live show or this YouTube. I guess it's up to you, folks. You going to save the kids out there?
It is up to the public. And this is not going to happen from the top down. It's going to happen from the bottom up. And what people have got to do is get onto their politicians. This is not a political issue. This crosses all the parties.
This is humanity.
This is getting onto your politician and demanding that you support Congressman Posey in his advocacy for a congressional oversight committee.
Well, there's the answer. How many congresspeople and senators have gone public because their grandson can't talk anymore? They're at their house one week running around having fun. The next week they can't talk. I mean, this is not rocket science. I mean, this something's going on here.
Yeah, so yeah, Congress has got to
make here, Alex, and that is, look, I've interviewed a number of people. A number of people back starting in 1987 when I was writing my first book, people who had never been vaccinated, but they had been brought up on good diets, good nutrition, good environment, good family, et cetera, and they weren't eating all kinds of junk food and so forth, and they weren't taking all kinds of medical drugs for non-existent conditions that were just there to sell pharmaceuticals. And these people came through fine. They not only came through fine, they were exceedingly healthy. So the whole house of cards is a sham. You want to protect people from getting sick? You raise them correctly. You have a world in which people can grow up healthy naturally. The body knows what to do. You're going to inject all these poisons in tiny babies whose immune systems are not even developed yet and say that it's going to stimulate their immune system to protect them from future disease when they virtually have no immune system yet? I mean, this is completely insane. No, what you do is you do the very thing that eliminated contagious diseases in the West in the first place. Better sanitation, better nutrition, less overcrowding, and so forth and so on. This is what you do. I mean, this is really
fresh air and sunshine. Fresh air and sunshine. Incredibly epic. NoMoreFakeNews.com. John Rappaport, thank you so much for being part of this special broadcast tonight.
Thank you, Alex. Always a pleasure.
Dr. Wakefield, Autism Media Channel on YouTube. We'll tweet it out to everybody at Real Alex Jones. I want to have you back up in the next week or two for a 2-hour interview with listeners calling in with their stories. Thank you so much. But I know you do this because you care about the kids, but it's got to be fulfilling to now be vindicated.
It'll be fulfilling, Alex, if we achieve what we need to achieve, and that is it's up to the people to prevail. It's up to them to exert the due democratic process, get onto your politicians.
That's right.
Demand a congressional hearing.
The answer is look in the mirror. Great job to the crew. See you back tomorrow live, 11 a.m., Infowars.com.